We have three alphas. There will be three alphas on the team, and whatever we need to decide to do is for the greater of the team. What I've seen, what I witnessed, and I think everything in life you go through is for a reason. So knowing that everything doesn't have to be, you know, perfect. If you all have one common goal, and that's to get a W at the end of the day, then that's what's all that matters.
No, you're good.
Just, you know, getting to be in a place where it won't move around, but
true.
Still picking up my beautiful, silky, smooth voice. Jordan, did you know that there was a time when I just had this constant upward inflection, you know? Episodes like 1 through 10, everything I said kind of went upwards like this, and I just couldn't stop doing it, and it took a while, but I finally worked it out.
I used to talk really fast. That was my problem, is I would have so much going through my head that I would just want to spit it out as fast as I could, and I just needed to reel it back a little bit and slow myself down a little bit.
At this point, I've just accepted the reality that I'm never going to be chill. I'm never going to be Bill Simmons. Like,
that's true.
You know, I just need to accept the fact that I run on a higher wire, you know. Right now, I'm actually pretty chill right now, but I'll never be like Bill Simmons, like, hey, thanks for listening to the Ringer podcast, check us out. Like, nah, I'm not going to do that. I wish I could.
Right.
I mean, that'd be awesome, but I'm too intense. I have too much knowledge to give the world. I have too many gifts of basketball wisdom. And you know what one of my avenues for sharing my knowledge of basketball to the world is, Jordan?
What's that?
It's Almighty Ball and the Almighty Podcast, which you, the listener, are listening to right now. What a great day for you. And I'm here today with Jordan Malley. We're talking about basketball. We're talking about hoops. We're talking about the Chicago Bulls. Is that what a bull sounds like?
I have no idea, but you probably have the closest guess to me than that I would have. I don't think I've ever seen a bull in real life, so that's probably the closest impersonation you can get as a human.
I saw a bull once at a rodeo. Bill Simmons, I mean, not Bill Simmons, close though, Bill Clinton was there, and he sat behind us, and it was just coincidence. And I turned to my dad, and I was young at this time, and I turned to my dad, and I was like, you know, everyone was sort of like, it's Bill Clinton, holy shit. And I turned to my dad, and I was like, I thought we didn't like Bill Clinton because my dad's a Republican, and the Secret Service guys just like tensed up, did not enjoy that. But, you know, that's when I saw a bull, and I also saw Bill, so, you know, Clinton, so. Anyways, Jordan, we're talking about the Bulls. If the listeners haven't ascertained that up to this point, then you need to keep up. But before we get started, let me just say, Jordan Malley is the host of Straight Out of College. It's a podcast. They cover sports. They cover hoops. They cover America's pastime baseball. They cover football, and not the pansy-European type. Yeah, just kidding, man. But they do cover the NFL. Hey, KD, come on, bud. No. Jordan, where can we find you on Twitter and, you know?
I recently changed my Twitter handle, actually.
Me too!
I went from being J Malley WIUX. Now that I am graduated from school, I'm not with WIUX anymore, so I had to clean it up a little bit. So you can follow me on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, JordanCMalley. You can listen to our podcast at Spreaker.com/JCM Radio or search for it on iTunes, Straight Out of College, and you'll find all of our work there. We've had a ton of really good guests on our podcast so far, and thanks for having me on this one. I'd love to talk about the Bulls. I haven't been able to really digress and express all the anger I have with this team so far until now, so thank you for having me on.
You've had some all right guests, you know. You're no one quite my caliber, but
hey,
you're young and upcoming, you know. Maybe one day you can land me as a guest, but until that day comes, yes, we can talk about the Chicago Bulls. See, I took some notes here. My first note is about Nikola Mirotic. Probably shouldn't start there. Let's start instead with Gar Foreman. You know, he comes out. I think he has it so that immediately after game number 82, he has the end-of-season press conference, just tries to sneak it by the NBA and by the media. And he comes out and he says, he sits down with the team president and he's like, you know what, we're going to build this team around Jimmy Butler. No one's roster spot is safe, which ended up being true. He ended up saying, we're going to fit this roster towards our new coach, Fred Hoiberg, and we're going to get, quote, younger, we're going to get faster. And so he went ahead and signed D-Wade and Rondo. So what are your thoughts on that bullshit?
I couldn't believe it, honestly. First of all, when my buddy showed me this article that they were talking about, this was before they signed Rajon Rondo, and he's like, what do you think about this? And I go, what would the point of that be? Why would you sign Rondo when you just gave up a Derrick Rose in there? I mean, you're going to bring in a guy that you send a guy out that's a head case and a PR weirdo is what Rose? I would like to. Yes, Derrick Rose is a PR weirdo. His brother is insane, first of all. His brother is a complete idiot. And then you bring in Rajon Rondo, who in the past has had confrontations with Doc Rivers and some other famous coaches. Every team he seems to land on, he's got problems in that locker room. So you send a problem child like Derrick Rose out of the locker room, and then you bring one back in. To me, it didn't really make any sense, and especially because Rondo's at 30 years old. When they told the media, they told the fans that they were getting younger, that they were going to try and rebuild this team, get faster, kind of play more Fred Hoiberg style. Then they go out and get Dwayne Wade, like, for $25 million a year? Like, are you serious? So why? I just don't understand what Gar Foreman and John Paxson are doing with this team, especially because you talk about guys who could better this team. First of all, I think they got as much as they could for Derrick Rose. I really like Jerian Grant. I think he could be something helpful for the Bulls as far as, I guess, speed goes and spacing the floor.
So let's start with the point guard position, right? So going from that Derrick Rose idea, right, that you're replacing one head case with another head case, Derrick Rose might be a rapist. And there's a tenuous intersection here of, okay, we're either going to assume that a woman is lying about being raped, or we're going to assume that a black athlete is guilty, even though there's a lot of reasons to think that that puts them in a particular situation to be exploited. So putting that aside, because honestly, I'm not willing to comment on it. I do know, however, that Rajon Rondo last year should have been suspended for the entire season because, I mean, he called a gay referee a pretty horrific slur. I don't think that people understand the gravity of that. It's like a white player calling a black referee the N-word. I mean, essentially, that's what Rondo did, except with the gay equivalent of that. And I mean, for a league that tries to act like it's forward-thinking, and I understand that it's a players' league first and that it would be a shit show if they, you know, came down on Rondo, but it was really a chance to make a stand. Luckily, I think they mended some bridges with the whole Charlotte situation, but I'm just not a big Rondo fan, and it sounds like you might not be either. You don't even have to make a commentary on sort of his who he is as a person. I also don't like him as a player, so if you just want to skip right onto that, talk about his game, you know, be my guest.
First of all, I want to say one thing about that whole situation. I think it's tough for the NBA to really consider suspending a guy for a full season. I know you see what they did in Charlotte and moving the All-Star game out of there and putting it in a different location. But you can go back to looking at Joakim Noah and Kobe Bryant when they used gay slurs against referees and fans, and they only got suspended. So I think that's kind of a whole can of worms that they didn't want to open as far as suspending him for a full season. I could see where you're coming with that. I just think that a lot of people in the media, a lot of fans would have talked about Kobe Bryant and saying, oh, well, he used it. Why wasn't he suspended? Well, obviously, Kobe Bryant was one of the best players to ever step on an NBA
court. And also, that
was
a while ago.
True. And there's a lot of there's been a lot of progressive movement in the last five,
particularly
six
with
years.
LGBT stuff. And I mean, I think that's agreed. The crux of my argument. And I mean, absolutely, it's unrealistic to expect the NBA to do that. Rondo puts asses in seats, and plus the player association. I mean, it would be a shitstorm. However, you know, maybe 2 weeks, maybe a month, something like that. You know, really make it clear that we aren't going to have this in our league. And as much as I do like to get a little socio-political, as much as I do like to talk about rights and activism and equality, we're talking about basketball, and, you know, Republicans buy sneakers too, and Republicans also listen to podcasts. So, you know, actually, I'm just going to go ahead and jump to a sort of Rondo-related topic. You know, they wanted to push the pace, right? And Rondo is sort of thought of as this half-court point guard, this half-court creator, and he sort of was for the majority of his career. But did you know that the second fastest-paced team last year was the Golden State Warriors, and the fastest team in the league was the Sacramento Kings, and Rajon Rondo started, and they were an entire possession per game faster when Rondo was at the game at 103. So Rondo was the starting point guard of the fastest-paced offense in the league. How do you think that might translate to the Chicago Bulls?
That's interesting, and I actually didn't know that. And as far as like just looking at the outside, his outside statistics with Sacramento, one thing people could say is, oh, it was his contract year, so that's why he was going out there, going out full force. He wanted to make the money he could, so that could play a factor into why he was, I guess, stepping up his game a little bit. It'll be interesting to see his transition now with two other stars on this team, with Dwayne Wade and Jimmy Butler. I think it's going to help tremendously with Jimmy Butler. I really honestly didn't feel like Jimmy Butler had a guy there to facilitate him with the ball. I know Derrick Rose, and it was just a constant attention around Derrick Rose and a fight for whose team it was. And now that both of these players really do understand that this is Jimmy Butler's team, I think Rondo's really going to help him as far as scoring goes, getting him open, and even getting Dwayne Wade open and getting him his shots too. So I like the addition, and I told my buddy this too. I said if they signed Dwayne Wade, then I can see why they would sign Rondo, and they obviously went ahead and did that. They signed Dwayne Wade. Honestly, it's not going to move the Bulls any closer to a championship. It's going to get them in the playoffs. It's going to sell out the United Center for the first half of the season unless they completely tank. It's going to get them probably into a 6-7 spot in the playoffs. I think he's a very good point guard, and the amount of assists that he had last year that he was averaging per game was really good. I mean, he was at the point where he was at the most, what was the most double-doubles, or I don't know, there was some weird statistic where Rondo was up there for the most amount of assists per game or something like that. I didn't watch the Sacramento Kings very closely, so I can't really speak on that. But I feel like it's going to be interesting to see what he does with the locker room, though. How he's going to butt heads with Fred Hoiberg, and now with Jimmy Butler and Fred Hoiberg, how they had their kind of weird relationship of how he called him out early in the season last year for not being a leader, not stepping up and, you know, really getting, I guess, pissed off with these players when they're not performing up to their standards. So it's going to be interesting to see what Rondo does inside that locker room and how it shapes this team.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a big concern, definitely. I think that, you know, that's a head-scratching aspect to the whole Rondo signing. And I also think it's head-scratching because Rajon Rondo's bad, and I don't know what you're talking about. I don't understand the fit of him next to Dwayne Wade. Jimmy Butler had a 31% three-point shooting, and yes, the year before he was much better, but if anything, that was a statistical deviation from what he was shooting.
Completely agree.
So you're going to have the least spaced offense in the league, and you're going to have a bunch of guys who pound the ball until it's deflated, you know, and it's basically going to be Deflategate all over again, because Rondo, Wade, and Butler are just going to pound the ball, dribble, 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 until there's no air left in the ball, and they have to, like, bring in a new one. So, I mean, Rondo, you know, is there's a lot of reasons for why Rondo's not the Rondo that he used to be. One, it's just that type of point guard doesn't really make sense in a modern offense, especially one that's ball movement heavy like Fred Hoiberg's hypothetical offense would be. He also doesn't space the floor. He doesn't finish well at the basket. He rebounds well because he's a lot faster than the bigs that he's stealing rebounds from. And he's a cancer in the locker room on top of all of that. And so before I just straight up dismiss this idea that it makes sense to get Rondo if you're also going to get D-Wade, what's your reasoning there? Because I was thinking the exact opposite. I don't see how putting two ball-dominant guards next to a superstar in the making, Jimmy Butler, who wants to handle the ball more, who says that he could play the point guard position, who has not jibed with a guy like Derrick Rose, who is sort of ball handling heavy. And see, I don't get the fit there, but Jordan, I know you're not an idiot, so please explain. I'm sure you have your reasoning.
Honestly, from the on-court perspective, it really doesn't make sense. I completely agree with you on that. Off the court, and as far as a PR move goes, and that's where a lot of my thinking comes from, is what the Bulls were trying to do. They know that they weren't selling out seats, for one. Two, they were getting bashed in the media here all around Chicago just because, I guess because Derrick Rose was here still, and I keep bringing that up, but that was a constant revolvement around him and this team, and Jimmy Butler was kind of quieting himself a little bit. But then he called out Fred Hoiberg, so that kind of makes sense too. So, I don't know. To me, I felt like if you bring in Rondo, then you need to bring in another star, because with Rondo and Butler, you're not making the play. I personally thought that they weren't going to make the playoffs, even with just Rondo and Butler. I said, you got to bring somebody else in here. This is from a PR standpoint. They're trying to create their big three, and this is a pathetic big three, if you ask me, with an aged Dwayne Wade. The Dwayne Wade's only going to play like 50 to 60 games this year, dude, let's be honest.
Man, let me tell you, okay? It's because you don't understand that the big three, okay, is Spencer Dinwiddie, all right?
Who they traded Cameron Bairstow for? Oh, my. Ugh.
Dougie McBuckets, okay? Big three, player number two. And then, shit, who else is funny who's on the Bulls?
Cameron Felicio.
Oh, Cameron Felicio? Is that a real thing?
Felicio?
No, Robin Lopez. That's
Oh, God. Okay. Oh, God.
Yeah, man. Okay, I'm glad you clarified, because I think that was, you know, the disconnect is, I think that they felt the
Bulls. It's a clear PR move.
Right. And, you know, I mean, the Bulls probably weren't going to be world beaters no matter what happened. You know, it would have been cool to get a younger squad, start to actually implement Hoiberg's system. But if they were going to be a playoff team, it was not going to be a second or Eastern Conference Finals team. That was just sort of what the reality was for last year. But I just feel like that move to go for, you know, the big press moves, to go for, you know, D-Wade, Sparkles, sort of like a star fucker type thing, to get Rondo, you know, despite the bad fit with Jimmy Butler, A, it puts back a already sort of strangled Hoiberg voice. You know, he already sort of looks like a bit of a pansy. He already seems like he can't get a good hold on his locker room, and Rondo's not going to make that better. And, you know, the on-court issues that are going to happen with that rotation is a real concern. It's going to be hard to have spacing. And it's also a concern because I think the Bulls are an underrated young core. They have underrated pieces. They won Summer League, you know, Chicago Bulls 2016 Summer League champs right there. And I just feel like, you know, you're not going to be able to see really what Denzel Valentine can give you. I know you're big on your boy Bobby Portis. I agree. He looks to be good. Now, I just don't see really, you know, how they're going to start to, you know, sort of shift the offense towards these young guys who look like they could be something. And so I have a lot of concern there. What do you think, Jordan?
Honestly, and you bring up this point, and I don't know if you know much about Jerry Reinsdorf, who owns the Bulls. He also owns the Chicago White Sox, and I want to bring this comparison up because it's interesting. So the Chicago White Sox this year, were set. They signed a couple guys in the last couple years to make themselves relevant enough for fans to believe that they were going to win a championship or at least make the playoffs. So Jerry Reinsdorf owning both teams, now he gave up the Bulls to his son, and it seems like they're both stuck in this world of mediocrity. And it's funny because it's parallel in both sports. It's parallel with the White Sox. It's parallel with the Bulls. Now, the Bulls brought in these old stars. It's exactly what the White Sox do. They bring in these old has-been stars. And, I mean, you could not saying D. Wade's like a has-been, but he's over the hill. He's not going to do what he used to do 5 years ago when they really wanted him. And that's another thing that people don't talk about is, why aren't people talking about, they love the fact that Dwayne Wade is here now, but how about the time, how about 5, 6 years ago when he was supposed to sign with the Bulls, and he goes, nah, sorry, see you later, I'm going with LeBron, and I'm going to go with Chris Bosh, even though he had plans to come back to Chicago. He told the media, basically, he wanted to be here, but nobody talks about that. I don't understand that, nobody talks about that.
I think he had a messy divorce, man.
Yeah, that could factor into it, too, but your kids live in Chicago. I don't know, to me, it's frustrating. It's frustrating to me because you bring in Dwayne Wade now at 36 when you could have had him at 30. And I don't know. The Bulls just never have enough to sign an elite type star. Nobody wants to come to Chicago. And that's what a lot of people don't understand. Nobody wants to come here. Nobody wants to follow in the footsteps of Michael Jordan. And everybody thinks that this team is mediocre because they are. Look at who you have running the front office. Tell me, Chris, you tell me, how many GMs and how many vice presidents would still have their job after going through 6, 7 coaches in their career? How many people would still have a job in professional sports as GMs and coaches?
Oh, I know. Ernie Grunfeld.
I don't even know who that is.
The GM of the Washington Wizards.
And you can see where they are now, too.
Right, yeah. No, I mean, in pretty similar positions. Yeah, see, and there's a lot of interesting places to go from there. But, you know, it does seem like some of the luster of... I guess that's maybe putting it lightly. Yeah, I mean, it's you know, it's a far cry from, you know, not even just the Michael Jordan Bulls. Because, like, you know, if you're comparing yourself to Michael Jordan's Bulls, then it's going to be hard to measure up. Chasing the ghost in Chicago. LeBron, what are you doing? You know what I'm saying? So even just hearkening back to 2011, hearkening back to 2012, back to the Thibodeau days, things looked pretty good, you know? Like, things looked a little bit like the Thunder. You know, they were sort of perennially getting there. There were always injury problems. They had complications, and there was a little disruption, whatever. But, you know, if you told me in 2012, 2013, or rather, if you told me in 2011 that in 2014 the Bulls were going to be NBA champions, I would not be shocked. I mean, that's dead and gone, right? And that's got to be pretty sad. It sounds like you're pretty low on Derrick Rose.
Yeah.
I mean, do you have any sort of lingering feelings of affection towards the guy? Or is it at least sort of a, you know, a bygone era, gee, like, if only, you know?
It really is, and I pressed for as much as I could to stay a Derrick Rose fan, and it was just season after season with all of these injuries he had and the weird press conference he did about how he said that he's got to stay healthy enough to be able to walk at his kids' graduation.
I thought you were gonna say the max contract.
Oh, no. He talked about how he said he had to be healthy enough to where he could walk one day at his son's graduation. I said, dude, you've got more money than even the 1% in this country has. I think you're gonna be all right. You're gonna walk at your kid's graduation whether you have a new knee or not. Like, it was just, the whole thing was just weird with him, especially the last couple of years. I really appreciated the MVP season. That was just incredible to watch, and it flashes in a lot of Bulls fans' heads what could have been. And then the constant butting heads with Jimmy Butler and him, the constant, you know, grab for whose team it is instead of trying to push for the one goal that they were all looking for is a championship. Derrick Rose isn't looking for a championship. He's looking for a business plan, and that's exactly what he got. He got a business plan, and he's getting paid. He's going to continue to get paid, And I wish him well in New York. I hope he does good with them. He's an idiot to compare them. Like,
super team.
There's a classic example of how big of an idiot Derrick Rose is as far as talking to the media goes. So, I don't know. I wish him well. I'm just glad it's over. I'm glad he's out. And, of course, the Bulls have to bring in, once they leave a hometown hero, once they get rid of a hometown hero, they got to bring in another hometown hero in Dwayne Wade. So, yeah. We'll see how that works out.
Well, so, you activated my trap card, you know, like you triggered me, you might say. I hate this MVP Derrick Rose talk. It's like the worst thing that happened in Derrick Rose's career is that he won that MVP, because honestly, there were four guys ahead of him that should have won that MVP. He was not even a top, you know, he was probably a top seven or eight player in the league. He won because of narrative,
yep.
And, you know, fine, if that's what the media wants to do. Unfortunately, they couldn't foresee in the future that what would happen is that Derrick Rose would have this decline, that he would go into the playoffs and screw up his knees, that, you know, for the rest of his career, he'd be walking around the locker room and his teammates would be getting mad at him because he would leave torn ligaments just lying around on benches. And it's like, oh, man, another one of your knee ligaments got caught in the shower drain. It's, that's awful. Anyways, you know, they couldn't have seen that happen. But it's awful because for the rest of his career, it's going to be, man, if he can only get back to that MVP caliber game. He was never an MVP caliber player. He won an MVP. He wasn't an MVP caliber player. Are you telling me that you would rather have him than LeBron James in 2011? Fuck no. Not going to be able to do it. There's like 10 other players who I would say, yeah, give me him. And D. Rose is still waiting to get picked on, you know, the Rucker basketball court. So, you know, that is a really frustrating thing to me. It's too bad that at least it can't be if he can get back to that all-star level. Because you know what, man? I gotta say, I wouldn't be floored if he does return to being a really good player, you know? Like, I wouldn't be absolutely stunned. I don't expect it. I would be shocked, you know? But I wouldn't be just, like, floored, you know? Because if he can clear up some of these injury issues, get back in shape, you know, he's still 27. He's where he should be at his prime. And if he can sort of nip some of this lingering injury stuff in the butt, he could be really good.
He's never getting back to that point. He's a 27-year-old with a 45-year-old knees. Let's put it that way. He's never going to get back to that point. And his peak, he'd be lucky to become an all-star again. That's my personal opinion about him. And I said, said he's not going to play more than 65 games this year. I made a bet, a $100 bet, that Derrick Rose will not start in 65 games or more this season. I'm thinking he's between the range of 58 to 62.
Don't get me wrong, I would be really shocked if he was an all-star again. Like, or, I mean, if he has a pretty good season, like, he plays for New York, he is Derrick Rose, like, he could get voted in by fans or something. You know, he's in the Eastern Conference on top of that. You know, Kyle Lowry started last year. I mean, Kyle Lowry's great, I shouldn't say that. Kyle Lowry's a really, really good player, but, you know, I mean, it could happen. He's not as popular as a sort of resurgent Derrick Rose could be. I think instead, I would be shocked if he was an all-NBA player. You know,
yeah,
what
that's,
I mean?
I would bet my life savings that he would never return to that. But I think me and you got the same type of, we've got the same type of feeling, the same type of mindset where Derrick Rose is going with his career. And I don't know. He's got Melo around him. He's got Noah, who he loves in the locker room. Those two guys were, like, yeah, real close together. I don't know. I just, that New York Knicks team is just so interesting to me in what Phil Jackson was trying to do.
They're a playoff team.
Definitely. I think so, too. And I think they're going to be right around where the Bulls are, too. Maybe slightly better than where the Bulls are going to be, just because they got Kristaps, too. I don't know. It's interesting. We'll see what happens to Derrick Rose. And if the New York, and he's going to New York, the New York media, if he doesn't perform well, is going to eat him alive. Let's be honest here.
God.
They're going to eat him alive. The Chicago media was rough on him, but going to New York, they're all out. They don't care if they don't care who you are. They will rip on you no matter what.
Dude, I'm sorry, man, but I am so low on both your teams. You know, it's going to be Philadelphia and then Brooklyn, and then Indiana, and then Chicago. Like, I think that Chicago and Indiana are going to be arm wrestling over who's going to be, you know, slumming it with the 76ers and the Nets, man. I don't know. I don't like it. But, hey, you know what? Let me just say, okay, let me use this as a transition point into this other idea. It sounds like, or it sounded like earlier when we were talking, you said no one wants to go to the Bulls. So if Dwayne Wade's contract expires, right, which, you know, it will after 1 year. It's a two-year contract. You can either opt in or let it go. If it expires and if Bobby Portis steps up so that they don't have to spend any money on Mirotić, they don't have to give him some fucking ridiculous $50 million contract, then they'll have solid $35 million to work with. But you're not too optimistic about that potential money next season.
All I say is look at 2010. Look at the amount of free agents that were out there, the amount of number one elite free agents. And first of all, you think Chicago. Chicago's the third largest market in the United States. Why wouldn't anybody want to come here and play? You would get sponsorship deals. You'd be the face of the town. What more could you want? But my biggest factor about that is nobody wants to follow in the footsteps of the greatest player of all time. And it makes sense. When you think about it, everybody wants to leave their legacy on a team where they can be known as the greatest warrior, the greatest wizard, the greatest Nick of all time. And when you come to the Bulls, I'm sorry, you're never going to get past Michael Jordan. The people that still live here and the people that still love the Bulls, remember, that was in their prime of their lifetime, was watching Michael Jordan and the incredible things that he could do. And nobody, if you tell me that nobody thinks about that before even taking a discussion with the Bulls, you're completely wrong. People think about that all the time. And everybody here in Chicago compares players and what they're doing on the court to what Michael Jordan could do. And it's unfair, but that's the negative, the disadvantage you get from having the greatest player of all time.
Well, so I'm not sure it factors into their decision-making. I really don't have a strong stance. I do, however, have a strong stance on the general free agent calculus. You know, it's first, money. Where can I get the most money? Second, and like, prime example, D-Wade. So money number one, and then number two, you a Kendrick Lamar fan?
Yes.
Man, number two, women, weed, and weather, man, okay? All right? You know, wait, okay. Women winning weed and weather. That's what I mean. You want to win basketball games, you want to be in L.A. or Miami, you want to smoke great weed. You know, Chicago has really good heroin, let me tell you, but not the best weed. Just kidding. So, you know, I can't really comment on the women, whatever. But, you know, my point really was saying winning and weather, and the rest of it was just a, you know, kind of poorly executed joke that came from the right place, though. So that's sort of what I'm thinking. You know, Chicago's awesome. I love Chicago. I like cold, though, and I don't think a lot of NBA stars want to throw on their fur coat, and I think Timberlands are kind of out of style. So you know what I'm saying, man?
Yep, and I completely agree with you. Why play in a place that's going to snow and it's going to be below zero for 5-6 months out of your season, where you can go play in Miami, you can go play in California, and it's beautiful beaches everywhere, 365. So I agree with that, too. I think that's another pretty big factor, too.
The cap space thing, you know, it used to be a valuable thing to have cap space because only a couple of teams could throw players max contracts. You know, now you got Reggie Jackson running around, and he's got pretty much a max. Like, who else got? I mean, Michael Conley got $160 million. Basically, there are more teams that can offer maxes than aren't, and normally it's the other way around. And that's another hindrance to Chicago because, you know what? KD, he's going to say, I can win 73 games, and it's in California. Like, sweet, let's do it. Sign me up, right? So I think that is kind of problematic for Chicago. Luckily, like I said, or maybe unluckily, because of the current trajectory of this Bulls team, they do have a young core that I really like. Denzel Valentine, I went on Michigan, the Spartan Sports Radio. I got to talk a little bit about him, to talk a little bit about Deontay Davis. I didn't list the Bulls as a good pairing for Denzel Valentine, but I really like the dude, and it's too bad, you know, that, I mean, if, I don't wish any harm upon any NBA players, but if Rajon Rondo got hit by a train tomorrow, I mean, how great would it be to have D-Wade, Denzel, and Jimmy Butler in your backcourt? I'd love that.
I would love that, too, and you're right, you bring up an interesting point about their draft picks, and I want to kind of get your info and kind of get what your opinion is on their past four draft picks. I like Denzel Valentine. I got to watch him a lot. I went to Indiana University, so I got to see him twice the last two seasons, twice in the regular season. I went to the Big Ten tournament and got to actually sit down. I sat right next to him before warmups, before the first couple rounds. He's definitely a guy that can lead a team, and I think it's interesting what he did with Michigan State. He got guys to kind of buy into what he was doing and also facilitate the ball around not just himself, but other guys on that team to make them better. And I think that's one thing that he can do really well. Some of the things that I saw in the summer league that he was doing, I'm like, that's never going to pass in the NBA. That move that he hit to hit the buzzer beater, the step back fadeaway shot, that thing's getting blocked 9 out of 10 times in the NBA. But good for him. He hit two game winners. He's a clutch guy. That's kind of tough to really gauge with any player that you're drafting. My one thing about him is I have real concerns about his knees. And the thing about his knees are he missed a lot of games last year with knee problems. Are we going to see another Derrick Rose incident where we're questioning whether he's healthy or not? And we already know Gar Forman and John Paxson don't tell us the truth. So
what I'm hearing, man, is that think Danny Granger. It'll probably be okay until he's 33, at which point he's donezo out of the league. That's what I've heard.
I'm completely okay with that if he could play at an above-average rate. But let me get your take on Nikola Mirotic. Let me get your take on McDermott. Let me get your take on Tony Snell. And now Denzel Valentine is their last four first-round draft picks. They also got the Kings. It'll be unprotected next year, so be interesting to see where if they'll get that Kings pick next year. And then now, I mean, if they enter the playoffs, they're going to be sitting with the 20th overall pick, 20 to 25 overall pick, depending on where they end up in the playoffs. And then they'll have a top 10 pick, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, since they're going to be really bad.
No. You don't even think they're going to make the playoffs?
No. No way.
No?
No.
Even as bad as the Eastern Conference is?
Dude, okay, man. Here's the thing with the Eastern Conference, dog. Napa
know-how. A Napa guy knows more isn't always better, unless we're talking about full-size vans. These beasts do more than get you from A to B. They have so much space a man can live in it. With shag carpeting, waterbed, and a sweet lava lamp, these mobile abodes have all the comforts of home. With quality parts and plenty of Napa know-how, you can keep the original tiny house running longer, stronger. That's Napa know-how. Napa know-how.
Everyone saw money and was like, wait, we have money. We can change up our roster. We can sign a bunch of free agents. We can contend. So every team in the Eastern Conference that isn't Philly, that isn't Brooklyn, is fully expecting to make the playoffs. Now, only 8 are going to make it, right? But, man, Frank Vogel on the Magic, you know, he's coached a defense. He, you know, Frank Vogel, and I've talked about this on my last two podcasts, I don't want to get into it, but he's basically like Tom Thibodeau. He started a new thing in defense. And Jordan, since I know that you listen to my podcast, you know exactly what I'm talking about. you know, that Serge Ibaka, Biombo, Aaron Gordon, forget about it. Elfrid Payton, that's going to be a top 5 defense in the league. Offensively, they'll figure something out. They'll be like the 20th or something, but they're going to make it, man. The Knicks, we've already said they're going to make it. Hawks, Hornets, Cavs, I think, are going to make it. Raptors, Celtics, that's 7. Who else is in the East?
And then a bunch of other teams. Then stick the Pacers or the Bulls or...
Nope, both don't make it.
The Bucks?
Bucks, maybe. I mean, they're better.
They're tall.
the Heat, they have a shot at it. The Pistons, they're definitely in. The Wizards, they're going to be better than they were last year. So, man, I don't see it in the cards for the Bulls. You know, they're all going for it, man. And the Bulls, I just don't think that they improved last year. I mean, I was struggling to think of plays to call, you know? That's sort of one of the first things I do is think about the starting lineup and think, how are you going to run the offense? And basically what I was thinking about is like, okay, let's do something like what the Bucks did a couple years ago and just like try desperately to steal everything and get all of our points in transition, but they don't have Larry Sanders protecting their bucket. Like, they have fucking Robin Lopez and Nikola Mirotic, and they're going to get jammed all over if they hedge and try to help and dig and steal balls and get running in transition. Plus, like, Jimmy's not that fast. They're going to have problems spreading the floor. I mean, really, the best thing that I thought of that was creative in an interesting way is they could do what Miami Heat did back in the Big 3 era and sort of run a reverse horns and play from the inside out with their guards. But I think that they're going to have some problems with Rajon Rondo playing Ray Allen's role and trying to spot up from the corner. Like, I don't think that that's good offense. I think that that's a little bit problematic. And Mirotić, I mean, honestly, Mirotić might be the litmus test for this team, because if Mirotić isn't good, what the fuck are they going to do? How do you play alongside each other? Rajon Rondo, crap three-point shooter. Dwayne Wade doesn't shoot threes. Jimmy Butler, probably pretty bad at threes. Taj Gibson and Robin Lopez. You know, to quote Stan Van Gundy, they'll just form a fucking wall, you know? That's just all there is to it.
There's going to be no three-pointers being shot from the starting five on this team. And I'm willing to bet if Nikola Mirotić comes out and plays like crap in the first month or month and a half of the season, you'll for sure, without a doubt, see either Taj Gibson or Bobby Portis step up into that role, take some more minutes away from him. I think somebody that I really thought should get a position to start is Bobby Portis. I think the guy has tremendous talent, and to continue to lock these guys up the way that the Bulls do, they lock them up on the bench for 2-3 years and don't exploit their talents and let them grow as players, I think is horrible. And you can see it in the development of some of the players that they've had in the past. Look at McDermott. He's been shit. Tony Snell, one of the worst first round picks the Bulls have ever made. Nikola Mirotić, man, this guy was supposed to be the next big thing coming over from, I don't even know where he played.
Spain.
And he was supposed to be the next big thing. The guy can't even knock down a three or grab a rebound. I have no faith in Nikola Mirotić anymore. I have no faith in him.
I don't see it, but Nikola Mirotić is one of those guys who, when I talk to people I trust, and they say, oh yeah, I really like Nikola Mirotić, I think he's going to be good, even when I don't see it, I have to say, okay man, I don't get it, but like, you're a good basketball mind, and you think that, so it's possible, you know? And so, I've heard enough people who I trust say that they like Mirotić, that they think he's going to bounce back, that it could happen, but, you know, I personally don't see it, so I'm sort of with you. It's sort of an interesting dilemma.
What's the point of having him bounce back and become good? The dude's going to turn 26 this year. And where do you... I just don't understand where the Bulls' thinking comes from. Where are you going to be in 3 years? Because realistically, you're not winning a championship this year. You're not winning a championship for the next 3-4 years to really contend. What is he going to be... What good is he going to do for your team, especially if now all of a sudden he's not going to be a part of this team? Even if he does play, bounce back from what he did last year, which was garbage, 11 points per game, and he had probably, I think, like 4 rebounds per game, which was horrible, 5.5 rebounds per game. His PER was garbage. So I don't see it either, and I don't know, maybe he just had a bad year, and he's going to come back, maybe knock down some more threes for this team. But if you're really looking for that three-point role, you're going to have to go to McDermott, and he's going to have to learn how to play.
I kind of like McDermott. He dropped a bunch of weight. He started to do some things besides just spot up. You know, he had a pretty fat ass his rookie in the first half of his sophomore season, but he cut a bunch of weight. I mean, I don't know with Dougie, and I think that's more than what a lot of media guys are giving him credit for. They're like, oh yeah, he's shit. I know he's going to be shit. Like, I don't know, you know.
He just hasn't had the opportunity to get into that role where he can we can expose what he can actually do. The dude is the all-time scorer in the NCAA in Division I. Come on now. Like, I mean, he was good at Creighton, and he's not that far off from where he was. He wasn't getting the playing time. If Fred Hoiberg uses him right, I think he can be a guy that can score 15, 17 points per game off the bench for you, and maybe in the future push himself into a role where he can start. But he's got to knock down threes. That's what they're looking for from him. He's got to knock down the three. Because you look at, like you said, Rondo Butler and Wade, they combined shot 26% from three-pointer. And I think Wade was at like 17%. Rondo was at like 22%. And Butler was at like 33%. So that's not very good. So I don't know where you're going to get your three-point shooting from. In an NBA league where it's moving towards a three-point shot, to me, I don't know. I don't know where you're going to get your points from. Butler can score 30 a game for you. Dwayne Wade, on occasion, could score 25, 30 points per game for you. I don't know. It's so hodgepodge with this team, and I don't know what the chemistry is going to be like with this team either. So to me, it's mediocre to me. I think it's mediocre at best.
I think that they'll find buckets. You've got D. Wade, who's still a really good player, and you've got some shooting with Mirotić and with McBuckets, and you've got Jimmy Butler, who's a legitimate threat. So you'll score. I just, like, it's going to be not efficient, and it's going to be painful, you know? It's like every game is going to be like a fucking slog. I just can't imagine that it's going to be fun to watch. I mean, I throw up in my mouth when I see Rondo throw stupid passes. I mean, stupid passes like when there's someone who's obviously wide open in the corner and he does, like, a behind-his-back 360 twirl, it's like, dog, like, you didn't need to do that. Like, you're dumb. Like, I hate you so much. So, like, I'm glad we're recording this at the start of the season, because I'm going to try not to watch the Bulls any next season, because, like, I just think the defense is going to be rough to watch. Like, it's just going to be like, oh, God, what's going on here? And the offense is going to be, like, it's just, I don't see how it clicks. And I don't think that Hoiberg is I don't think that Hoiberg is an NBA coach, you know, and that could mean a lot of different things. I'm gonna leave it a little bit vague, but you know, I don't think that he's a really great NBA coach. I don't think that he can adapt his, you know, Hoiberg style to the roster that he's been given. And man, I gotta say, what I see for this team is, like, I think that this next year is going to be the year that Gar Foreman gets the axe, because I just think that next year is going to be an unmitigated shit show. They're going to lose Dwayne Wade for nothing. Jimmy's going to be like, what's going on here? And I think Jimmy's probably going to get traded. And I think best case scenario for the Bulls is that they sort of, you know, recognize, okay, we've got some good young players and we can fetch a pretty penny from Boston. We can get a whole bunch of young new players in this draft that's supposed to be stellar. You move Jimmy Butler, get Jaylen Brown, the Nets' first pick next year, Marcus Smart, right? And run with the core. Man, doesn't this sound good to you, man? Some young new superstar who was the first or second pick in last year's draft, Denzel Valentine, Bobby Portis, Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown. Man, that's great. Why not?
I'll tell you why not. First of all, Gar Foreman and John Paxson aren't going to go anywhere. Let's be honest about that. Jerry Reinsdorf is known for keeping his guys, his circle of guys together. He does it with the White Sox, and he does it with the Bulls. And now Jerry Reinsdorf's son owns the Bulls. He's got that same kind of mentality where these guys aren't going to go anywhere. If it was anything, look at the relationship he ruined with Thibodeau. And just because John Paxson and Gar Foreman didn't like Thibodeau telling him, hey, you know what? Shove it up your ass. I'm doing what I want to do. We're the number two seed in the East right now. You know, you're not going to tell me how to coach my team and who to play and who to exhaust when I don't really think they were exhausting anybody. Yeah, you could say the Derrick Rose injury could be correlated with his fault. Same with Joakim Noah, but I think that's a little far-fetched.
I think they just have a bad training staff. Man, historically, teams that are owned by multi-sport, like, you know who owns the Pelicans? The same guy who owns the Saints. You know who has injury issues? The Pelicans, man. You can't just say, hey, I know a really great football trainer who's going to be like, just like, rub some dirt in it, man. That's what they're going to say. Like, typically teams that are owned by a guy who also owns a football team, they have kind of bad management, but really bad training staff. Like, they didn't have particularly good injury luck last year, And by the way, that's a really scary thought for Denzel Valentine. That 7 or 8 years might turn into 2 or 3. But, you know, man, I honestly expect that it's going to be a kind of painful year for the Bulls next year. And I guess you're telling me it's not going to be super duper rough. Maybe that means that Paxton is out.
They should be out. They should have been out a long time ago.
But, you know, maybe they will be. But I foresee a Bulls rebuild in the near future. And I think that as little as Summer League matters, I think that it was a good sign about a young core that's underrated. And I think that Jimmy Butler needs to go to greener Celtics pastures. And you'll get a lot of good assets because the Celtics, you know, have a Butler hard on. Like, you know, they'll pay good for that. And, you know, you put, you know, a whole team full of good picks and stuff from the Celtics along with a good young core that already exists. You really like Jimmy Butler. We both really like Denzel Valentine. We think that Jimmy Buckets, yes, we think sir. That he might, you know, be something. You know, maybe this was a good year to bring in a bunch of guys on short deals, a bunch of aging superstars, and just really just have, like, have you seen V for Vendetta?
I have not.
Oh, that's too bad. Okay. Well, when he's blowing up the Parliament building, it's playing that music, and he's like, na 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 na. You know, it's blowing up everywhere, and he's, like, conducting it, and there's all these explosions, you know, that's happening as he's blowing up British Parliament. You know, that's what, hopefully, that's what next season is for the Bulls. It's like, you know, one last, like, you know, hurrah, explosive show, and then you focus on these young guys who were both agreeing, are buried in the bench, and it's not helping them out, and they have some talent, and they should just go ahead and go with it. Anyways, Jordan, you know, we're getting close here. I just talked for a really long time. I want to give you the last word, and like this explosive bowl season that I'm predicting, I want you to really make this last word, like, just, like, really own it, because I just talked for so long. You can go for 5 minutes. I don't care. Go ahead.
All right, so the last couple things I have on my mind, first of all, Fred Hoiberg is one of John Paxson and Gar Foreman's boys. He coached at Iowa State. Gar Foreman went to Iowa State. They've been boys for a long time. That's why they brought him in. I think you bring up a really great point. None of these players really fit the style that he plays, and that's pace and space, and he did it with Iowa State, and he had tremendous success. I also don't think he's an NBA-ready coach. You look at Brad Stevens, you look at Billy Donovan, the transitions that they've made to teams, and the things that they have done transitioning from college to the NBA has been absolutely fantastic. And that's just, I don't see it with Fred Hoiberg. I really don't. I also like your idea about trading Jimmy Butler to the Celtics. I was all on board for that during the NBA draft. I said, push for it now. The Celtics have good pieces where the Bulls can build around and be a successful young team. And to me, it just doesn't make any sense. It's still, I bring this point back. It doesn't make any sense to sign these old stars. I get it. They want to make the playoffs. They want to still stay relevant, because if you think about it, what are people watching in the winter? They're watching either the NBA, they're watching college basketball, or they're watching hockey. And you know what? Chicago's one of the hottest hockey towns and in the whole United States and Canada, North America. And if you believe for a second that if this Bulls team starts trending downwards, people are going to start tuning into hockey and not into basketball anymore because they don't want to watch shitty basketball. And that's exactly what the Bulls have been putting on the court for the last 2 or 3 years. My final thought on this whole team is I really hope for Bobby Portis' sake, Nikola Mirotic comes out and completely blows it in the first month and a half, and that he does terrible to the point where they put Portis in that power forward position and give him a chance to grow. I also hope they give Denzel Valentine the legitimate shot in his first year to really prove something for this team going forward. But honestly, as being a fan of the White Sox, being a fan of the Bulls for my entire life, watching Jerry Reinsdorf and the Reinsdorf family own these teams, they never commit to a full rebuild. They've never committed to a full rebuild with the White Sox. They will never commit to a full rebuild with the Bulls. I just don't see it happening unless they... I just honestly think that they should take Jimmy Butler, move him, get all these other expiring contracts out of here, and really completely rebuild this team and let it be something young, exciting, fun for people to watch other than this mediocre basketball team who maybe will reach a 6, 7, 8 seed in the playoffs. Then we watch them get bounced out and embarrassed in the first round of the playoffs. Like, nobody in Chicago wants to see that. We want to see something more than that. And I think their first real good step to to kind of defining what they're going to be in the future was getting rid of Derrick Rose, but then they took 8 steps back when they signed Rondo and Wade. I don't know. To me, it's going to be a lot of question marks. I think, like you said, again, one of the biggest bright spots was them winning the Summer League and not even losing a game in the Summer League. I think that was fantastic. It really shows some of the guys that can be a part of this team. And somebody that the Bulls didn't sign, but they might stick in D-League, their new D-League team, which is the Windy City Bulls, is Dez Wells. I don't know if you know who Dez Wells is. He's from Maryland. He was Maryland's star before Melo Trimble. And he entered he's one of those guys who entered the draft too early, didn't really get that good look, didn't end up on any team, but he played really, really well in the NBA Summer League. So that might be a guy that you look at the D League and say, hey, this guy could maybe find a spot onto the bench. I don't know. To me, it's a major toss up with this team right now. They could go one end where it's, you know, a team that's going to win 50 games, and that's being extremely optimistic. It's being extremely optimistic. Or they could be on the other end where they win 30 games, maybe. I think they're going to be somewhere in the middle. I think they're going to maybe win 40 games, 42 games, if they're lucky, and maybe squeak a spot into the playoffs. There are a lot of things have to happen. A lot of teams have to underperform. Injuries got to happen. And this team's got to stay healthy, in which, let's be honest, they've never had the history of staying healthy in the last 8 years that I've been, you know, fully engaged in this team. So, I don't know. I don't know where to peg this team. I'm saying, for the hope of optimistic sense, that they end up in that 7th or 8th spot. Just to see them play in April and May, which we've been deprived of. And if they don't do that and they continue to sit in this mediocre standpoint, this lull, this NBA, I don't even know what purgatory I would call it, NBA purgatory, they're going to lose fans. People are going to stop going to games. And the only reason why people are going to go to games now is to watch Dwayne Wade. That's literally why they're going to fill seats. So yeah. if they don't win games this upcoming season, you're going to see a lot of empty seats at the United Center and a lot of pissed off Bulls fans.
Yep. And maybe, just maybe, that will spark, you know, the smoldering crater of the Bulls will maybe spark a rebuild, because, you know, I think we've sort of come to a consensus that they really don't want to rebuild, but maybe, you know, if there's no D Wade available, if there's no Band-Aid signing next season, and they just are face to face, Butler wants out, they do have a young core, the coach still isn't getting along with Butler, Dwayne Wade goes back to Miami, Rondo sucks shit because he sucks, maybe, you know, the rebuild thing will, you know, they'll just finally, Jimmy Butler will just walk up, write rebuild on a piece of notebook paper and staple it to Paxton's forehead, and, you know, there'll be a beautiful new Bulls team in 2020 to watch and love. And with that, you've been listening to Almighty Ballin, the Almighty Podcast. I'm Chris Axman. Follow me at Almighty Ballin. Like the Facebook page, almightyballer.com. Like it, love it. Go to iTunes. Give me a 5-star review. You know me. I don't push for it that much, but hey, just go say 5 stars. That Chris guy, real dope. Love him. And if you loved our guest today, Jordan C. Malley, at Jordan C. Malley, is that your new handle?
Yes, sir.
Nailed it, man. If you love him, then go ahead, say in the reviews, I love him. But also, go check out Straight Outta College, the best sports podcast that I've ever listened to. It's like listening to a choir of angels with Chicago accent.
So, yes.
thanks for coming on, talking some Bulls with me. Bullshit, get it?
Really appreciate for having me. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man, and, you know, thanks for listening, all you listeners at home. And tune in next week. Actually, I mean, tune in a couple of days. We'll probably have another thing out, you know. I'm on my grind right now trying to get them advertising money, so you know how that goes. All right, so long and good night. Godspeed.
Napa Guy knows not to judge a man by his car's multicolored paint job or absence of modern gadgetry. Who cares if it's technically old enough to vote and the windows are powered by the strength of your left arm? Your monthly payment is zero, and it'll stay that way. Because with over 500,000 parts and a little Napa know-how, you can keep anything on the road. She may not be pretty, but she's all yours. That's Napa know-how. Napa know-how.